The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders and the Australians.
Sono felice di servire, Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
Five new temples.
Ni kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
The history of the church in the Philippines. During the Spanish-American War in 1898, two men from Utah who were members of the United States Artillery Battery and were also set apart as missionaries by the church before they left the United States, preached while stationed in the Philippines. Missionary work ceased in the Philippines at the beginning of World War II and resumed again in 1961. In 1969, the church had spread to eight major islands and had the highest number of baptisms of any area in the church. In 1983, the Manila Missionary Training Center was established. Membership in 1984 was 76,000, and in 1990, membership grew to 237,000. Current membership in the Philippines is 631,885.
Welcome to Into All the World, where we discuss the growth of the church around the globe. I'm Tim Taggart, and joining me by phone from Quezon City in the Philippines are President Raul Villanueva and Jessie Ann Villanueva, who have recently presided over the Philippines' Cauayan Mission. President and Sister Villanueva were both born in the Philippines. President Villanueva served a mission in the Guam Micronesia Mission and received a degree in secondary education, Filipino and English literature. Before his call, he taught seminary and institute. The Villanuevas have four children, the oldest of which was 10 when they were called, and the youngest was born right after they completed their service. It's great to be able to visit by telephone this morning from the Philippines. As we begin, I'd love to hear how you came to find the church. Then maybe we can hear from your wife, and she could share with us her story of how she came into the gospel.
I have an uncle who actually introduced us to the church when I was a young boy. My father died 3-4 years before that. And so my mother was really searching for something in her life. And so when I was 11, the missionaries started teaching us, and we accepted the gospel, and we were baptized into the church.
My family was referred to the missionaries by a second-year high school student girl. We were a visitor of the missionaries. We were baptized after a month. So we were 11 in the family when we were baptized. I was 8 at that time, so I was so happy. I was able to be with them during the baptism. And we were together with our grandparents and our aunts and uncles.
So you had a whole portion of your family come into the gospel all at once.
Yeah.
That's marvelous. As you think about your mission experience, it was a bit of a challenge, I'm sure, going into the mission field as a family, as a young family. Tell us a little bit about how you felt about your call and as you began your mission service.
It's like any other call in the church, you just feel this inadequacy. Why me? You know that question? Of course, we pray hard. We know that it was the Lord who called us to serve a mission. Of course, our family is a very young family, and my children then were all in grade school. And we thought, how are we going to do this? But, you know, we are raised in the church. We thought that as we continue to rely upon the Lord, search the scriptures for direction, and follow the guidance of the Spirit as we live worthily, then we're going to be fine. And that's exactly what happened.
I'm sure you felt the hand of the Lord helping you as you served your mission.
Right. We felt the hands of the Lord.
I'm interested in Cauayan area. Could you tell us a little bit about the area and about the mission the size of the mission and kind of the makeup of the people and the area that the mission covers?
The Kauaian mission actually grew out of the Ilagan mission. This is up north of Luzon. Kauaian mission is generally within the region too, composed of four provinces. The Nueva Vizcaya province in the south, Quirino, Isabela, which is the second largest province in the Philippines, and of course the Cagayan Valley province. It's in the northwest side, actually, of northern Luzon.
So how big of an area is it? How many units of the church and that sort of thing are there?
There are three stakes and six districts. It's a good size mission, actually. You know, from the center of the mission, that's Kauaian City, we travel both directions at least 4 hours each direction.
So it is a good-sized mission. What are the special needs of the area, culturally and others, that are challenging or unique for the missionaries that serve there?
I should say there are still some areas that are, you know, a little bit remote travel-wise. Transportation is a challenge. Most of the areas actually is a farmland. There are, of course, three cities found in the mission area.
What kind of crops are raised on the farmland?
Rice and corn, and of course, vegetables.
So are most of the people accepting of the gospel? Is the church becoming fairly well known among the people of the Philippines?
The whole country has an average of, at least, you know, the last time I know, is like baptizing a convert of around 20,000.
20,000 a year?
20,000 a year. And our mission would average 1,200 to 1,300 converts a year. So the people are pretty much accepting of the gospel. The challenge is always the head of the home to listen and to be part of the family getting baptized into the church.
What are the special challenges that the missionary face in finding people to teach and in growing the church?
In the Philippines, you know, we have this culture. People would say and commit and say yes, you know, for example, for an appointment. But most of the time, they would just say yes, but they don't actually mean it. Missionaries would really do a lot of tracting and getting more member referrals. But when we have member referrals, then it works best because people will start hiding, you know.
If transportation is an issue, it sometimes gets frustrating for the missionaries who have to travel quite a ways to an appointment and then not have people show up.
That's what's been happening.
What's your experience with leadership and developing leaders within the units? It sounds like with that much growth, there must be quite a challenge in developing leadership in the local units.
The challenge really is how to have a Melchizedek priesthood base. Many women, you know, would join the church, but not enough men. And so there is really a challenge in leadership. People getting baptized, they need constant fellowship and nourishment in the gospel, but there's just not enough people to guide them and to strengthen them. Of course, there are also other challenges, like leaders would go abroad, things like that. And so there is a constant turnover of leaders in the area as well.
With your experience in seminary and institute, it must be some strength growing up in the young people and with return missionaries and that sort of thing. How is the church being established?
We see that happening in some areas. Return missionaries serve to be strength in some areas. Leaders are really aware of that potential, and so what they do is they really focus on these return missionaries, and so they continue to grow.
I'm Tim Taggart. You're listening to Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. Today we're discussing missionary work in the Philippines with President Raul and Jesse Ann Villanueva. What's the makeup of your missionaries as far as how many local missionaries do you have compared to missionaries from other locations? Where were your missionaries from?
About 70% are local missionaries, Filipinos. And the rest of the 30 come from North America, in the Pacific, New Zealand, Tonga, Samoa. Basically, that's where the missionaries come from.
And I'll bet it's a wonderful experience being able to work with all those young men and women as mission president.
We love those young men and young women who serve the Lord on a full-time mission. They just have so much to offer, you know, leaving their homes behind. It was really a sacrifice on their part, but because they have the faith and they wanted to share the gospel, that's why they will face all those challenges with strength and determination.
Do you have any experiences that you'd like to share about some of the missionaries who had particularly difficult challenges to overcome, or you saw a great change in their life?
You know, at first, young missionaries would experience homesickness, not really, you know, adjusted to the work, because it's really hard coming from a cold climate and then working in the Philippines, doing fossilizing work on a daily basis when it's really hot, because there are only season in the Philippines, either hot or hotter. They would start, you know, a little timid and not that confident as they immerse themselves in their studies of the scripture and work hard every day. Then they find themselves doing the work of the Lord with much effectiveness. They know that they are not alone in this work, and they can accomplish so much with the help of the Lord. They understand, President Monson, if you're in the Lord's errand, you're entitled to the Lord's help.
What are some of the experiences that you had where you saw the hand of the Lord guiding the missionary work?
About a year ago, I can think of one missionary who came from the U.S., and he was assigned in one of the most difficult areas in the mission, a struggling branch. He was introduced the what and how of missionary work. He would actually read, ponder, and pray every day. His companion was even amazed the way he would write his impressions, you know, thoughts coming from the Holy Ghost, actually receiving revelations. And because of that, many people started to join the church. There was one time when they had 17 baptisms just in one day. He would literally receive revelations. And during interviews, you know, that's something I always look forward to as mission president.
What are some of the experiences that you had where, as a mission president, you felt like the Lord was guiding you in your efforts and His hand was guiding the work?
Some areas that are really that strong and some areas that are really struggling. I would often, with my wife, take the hands of the Lord so that we would know what to do. I would share one experience. There was this branch in a state or elders, you know, served there for many years. And then one day a thought came to me that area needed the sisters, missionary. And so I talked with the state president, and then he agreed, you know, that we can experiment and put the sisters there. It was a very strong impression on my part. And so when the bishop learned about it, he said, well, in the past, there were some sisters here, and it didn't work. Maybe in a month or two, then the elders will again be back in the area. But the sisters, faithful enough, hardworking missionaries, we even took them that evening to their apartment, and we prayed, you know, with my wife and asked the Lord to bless them and the work and the members. At first, the members were negative about it because they were used to other missionaries who would not really, you know, do their very best in doing the work of the Lord. But they would just do everything they can, applying all the principles and preach my gospel, inspiration from the scriptures. And something happened. First, they developed that love for the people, and they also gained the trust of the leaders and the members, especially the branch president. They're there to really help them. And so one time when the branch president saw me, and then he approached me and, you know, said, President, I'm sorry. Well,
I said before, that the sisters would not make any progress in the area as far as the work is concerned. But I was wrong. When we left the mission, that branch would average like 70, 80 sacrament meeting attendance. But before we left, they would actually average like 130, 140. And I heard that from the state president that they're applying for that branch to become a ward.
That's wonderful. So almost doubling in size. How far away are you from the temple? Are the members able to get to the temple? And what's the impact in their lives?
It's like 350 kilometers. But you see, in the Philippines, that would take like 9 to 10 hours drive. That's a long distance from their areas. Even, you know, some would travel 14 hours, the farthest part of the mission in the north. Mountainous area and, you know, other challenges. But members are, there are members who are really that committed and faithful that they would actually go to the temple. I heard one time since we returned from our mission that one stake from that mission was one of the most frequent attendees in the temple because they would always go to the distribution center and the patron house. And there are those who are really faithful in going to the temple. But of course, recently, because of that announcement made by the prophet to be a shorter distance compared to 9, 10 hours or 14 hours, maybe like 6 hours now they can reach the temple.
So where is the location of that new temple that's closer?
The Urdaneta Temple.
That's wonderful. I'm sure that was great news for the saints.
It is for all of us, yeah.
We're speaking today with President Raul and Sister Jessie Ann Villanueva, who presided over the Philippines' Kauaian mission. This is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel, and I'm Tim Taggart. It's such a pleasure to be able to listen to you from such a long distance away and to share your spirit and wonderful testimonies. I'm wondering if maybe we could ask Sister Villanueva to share her testimony with us. Then we'd love to conclude with you sharing your testimony, if you would.
Really a great privilege for us. I know to every mission president wife who would be called in a mission, you really see the young missionaries striving to really work hard in serving the Lord. And not only the young missionaries, but the senior couples, they're amazing. I'm just so grateful for their service. They just follow what President Hinckley said. They can just stay home, take care of their grandchildren, and sit in their rocking chair and enjoy life that offers no contribution. So they would come to the mission and serve. And we're really so grateful for those missionaries. We were strengthened. We now have firmer and stronger testimonies and faith because of the experiences that we have in a mission. I really know that all of those missionaries will be blessed and they'll be rewarded, which they were richly blessed, as what the prophet, the first president said, and promised in the Preach Me Gospel manual, that we will richly be blessed as we humbly and diligently serve the Lord in His vineyard. I know that the Lord would always bless those who serve Him and His people.
I too would like to add my testimony of this, the work of the Lord. The Church of Jesus Christ has been restored to the earth through the prophet Joseph Smith with all its authority and ordinances to bless the lives of the people. It is a power to change the heart and minds of the people. We've seen that in the mission field, and we're so blessed to be part of this great work. I know that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God. I know, as the prophet Joseph Smith said, those who would honestly and with determination to find the truth, they will know the truth. I know that the Lord's missionaries are called by Him. It is not by accident that they are serving in the areas where they are serving and observe. I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Redeemer and Savior of the world, of which we owe everything, including that of.
Amen. If you wouldn't mind, how about concluding by just sharing a brief testimony with us in Tagalog, would you?
Alam ko na tayong lahat ay mga anak ng Diyos, na minamahal niya at nais niya ang ating walang hanggang kapakanan. alam ko na ang buhay sa lupa ay hindi nagkataon lamang. Meron siyang plano para sa atin. Ang tayo ay muli makapiling niya at makabalik sa kanya kasama ng ating pamilya sa walang hanggan. Alam ko na ito ang kaharian ng Diyos sa ibabaw ng lupa. Ang simbahan ni Jesucristo na nag-iisa at buhay na simbahan sa ibabaw ng mundo. Na si Joseph Smith ay propeta ng pananambalik at si President Thomas S. Monson ang propeta ng Diyos sa ating panahon. Jesucristo ang ating manunubos at tagapagligtas na nagmamahal sa atin at magmamahal magpakailanman. Sa pangalan ni Jesucristo. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, President Sister Villanueva, for joining us this morning. We're so appreciative of your testimonies and willingness to share with us. I'm Tim Tiger. Thanks for joining us for End All the World on the Mormon Channel. For more information on this program or to see pictures of those who are interviewed, visit us online at radio.lds.org. To share your story with the Mormon Channel or to give us feedback, email us at radio@ldschurch.org. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Into All the World.